Hello, this is Greg Potter. I'm the Assistant Vice President for University Relations at Widener University, and I'm here today with our president, Dr. Julie Wollman.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Julie. It's nice to be here with you. You recently spoke to our President's Council at an event here in November about the changing landscape of higher education. It was a very impactful presentation and conversation, and I thought that we could take a few minutes to share some of the key takeaways from your presentation, as well as an overview of some of the discussion that followed during a very vibrant question and answer session.
That sounds great.
So you opened your remarks by comparing the challenges that higher education institutions are facing with climate change. Could you explain that metaphor for our listeners?
Absolutely. It's not a perfect metaphor, but I think that the comparison at least makes the point. Like climate change as a global issue, there's fact and there's opinion, but we know that perception is reality, and perception guides action as much as, sometimes even more than, scientific fact. We also know that like climate change, while some aspects of the change are readily evident, others are occurring gradually enough that immediate action appears less necessary. Yet, when action does finally appear necessary, it may be too late to reverse the irreversible impacts unless we get ahead of the headwinds buffeting higher education. If you read the news, you know that the rate of very small colleges closing and merging has grown rapidly over the past 5 years, with 14 closures and mergers of small colleges in just the current year. Now, Widener isn't a small college, but I make that point to say that the impact of the headwinds is very real.
So I'm interested in the headwinds relating to climate change. That language seems appropriate here. Could you tell us a little bit about those headwinds? What are some examples that colleges and universities are facing that you would describe as headwinds?
Absolutely. So one of the headwinds facing higher education is eroding public trust in higher education. This is about the attitudes towards higher education. Higher education isn't consistently and widely assumed to be a public good any longer because there are questions. Again, these are perceptions. They may not be based entirely in reality, but again, perception is reality. There are concerns about safety on campus. There are concerns about what's actually happening in the higher education curriculum. And conversely, there are concerns about students being coddled, about so-called snowflake students being coddled and protected from what's happening in the real world. So this issue of concern about trust in higher education and attitudes towards higher education is one of the headwinds. And one of the interesting things is, even though there are all these questions about higher education, those who can afford it still send their children to college. They still send their children to graduate school or themselves to graduate school. So clearly, those who can afford it still want to attend. A second headwind is concern about costs and debt. What's the return on investment of higher education? There are questions about whether there are better options that cost less than the traditional higher education. And interestingly, in Pennsylvania, counter to most assumptions, data is just out for debt in Pennsylvania, which is very, very high, but showing that the higher debt in Pennsylvania is with public institutions, not private institutions like Widener. Nevertheless, these questions about cost and debt are very prominent. A third headwind is a concern about the business model. And many people know that last year, Moody's, the rating agency, downgraded higher education as an industry. There are questions about whether the business model is sustainable, particularly when convenience and cost to get a credential seem to be top of mind, even before concerns about quality. And is it sustainable when expenses are rising faster than net tuition revenue in some places? Another headwind, and something that's happening while all these other issues are buffeting us, is demographics. The demographic reality. There's a decline in the traditional age high school students that attend most colleges. Colleges like Widener, certainly a traditional higher education institution. And that decline is between 15 and 20%. Mm-hmm. In the years between 2017 and 2029, and even in large urban areas like Philadelphia, right near Widener, we see that that decline is going to happen, where we think there's going to be some population growth, but that traditional age high school student is declining. So many people know that Widener is actually 51% graduate, master's, doctoral, and law. Mm-hmm. And so we have good diversification in our programs. But if there's a decline in traditional age high school students, 4 years later, there's going to be a decline in those going to graduate school. The other thing we're seeing related to demographics is a decline in international student enrollment because of the political climate in this country, the more difficulty that students are having getting the permits to come as students and to get work permits after they're here. And then other countries are building their higher education infrastructure. So not as many students need to come to the U.S. or to another country to get a strong higher education. Finally, employers are now stepping in to offer their own programs. And that's another headwind for higher education. So our largest employers are not only contracting with higher education institutions at a lower cost. You may have read about Starbucks contracting with Arizona State University. Now, Amazon, a very large employer, is offering their own post-secondary education, replacing traditional higher education institutions entirely. And we see things like short-term boot camps to develop a skill like coding in just a couple months. So these are some of the headwinds that we're facing in higher education, and they create challenges but also great opportunities for us.
So, Julie, I think our listeners and folks who are connected to Widener are obviously thinking, what do these headwinds mean for us here at home? And how are we, you as a president and your leadership team, thinking about how they impact Widener and then strategizing for future success here at the university?
Absolutely. We know that we need a winning and precisely tailored strategy to succeed in this very competitive and volatile context that we're in so that students continue to choose Widener. And fortunately, we've been very successful with students choosing Widener. We know that we have a strong foundation for the future. First of all, we have great financial strength. Thanks to disciplined spending and enrollment successes in targeted areas, we actually had our best year ever, our best outcomes financially ever in the history of the university, and mm-hmm. we're about to be 200 years old in this past fiscal year. So we're very strong financially in terms of our end-of-year net revenue results. We also know that we have programs with impact. And this is true of our undergraduate programs, our graduate programs, and our law school programs. We prepare graduates with technical skill, but also with appreciation of the history and the social and ethical impact of their work. They're really ready to be true, strong professionals. We prepare graduates with the drive and compassion to make a difference in their careers and in the world. We prepare graduates with the curiosity to seek answers, to meet the challenges of our world. We prepare graduates with the interpersonal acumen and the ability to communicate about their work in a compelling way. And our graduates understand that interdisciplinary and interprofessional connections make them better professionals, and they have the knowledge and disposition to make a difference. These are parts of our program. They're essential parts of our program, and they're woven into all of our academic offerings. And that's what gives us that impact. We also have impressive student outcomes. So our incoming SAT, ACT composite scores are up almost 100 points mm-hmm. over the past 5 years. Our law credentials are also gradually rising. We have rising graduation rates and impressive career success, with 95% of our May 2018 graduates achieving their intended career outcome within 6 months of graduation. Widener truly does offer the inside track to success, and that 95% data point is exceptionally impressive when you look at the performance of colleges and universities across the country. Mm. For 95% of graduates to achieve their intended career outcome within 6 months is truly exceptional. We're also in the top 18% in the country in salaries earned at mid-career. So we have the outcomes that show that we can stand up to those headwinds and really be successful. We also have a culture of caring for each other and for our students that's balanced by a commitment to accountability and rigor. And courage, optimism, and adaptability are in Widener's institutional DNA. So we are strong despite these headwinds, despite this ever-changing landscape of higher education.
Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, certainly the landscape in higher education is challenging, but I think the President's Council members who attended the event certainly appreciated hearing your strategic but also optimistic view of Widener's path forward. And like all alumni who support the university, they're invested in Widener's future and had some great questions for you. And I'm curious about which questions they posed and which stood out most to you and how you responded.
Yeah, there were some fantastic questions. One of the questions that stood out for me was, how is Widener preparing students for career changes? So they might be in one job at the beginning of their career, but then decide, you know, within a couple of years that they want to do something completely different. And we know, it's a great question because we know that the graduates of today will have multiple careers over their lifetime. This isn't like the days when somebody went to a company and stayed there for their entire career. Mm-hmm. So we see this as an opportunity to ask ourselves, who do we serve right now? And we're doing this as part of our strategy development process. And who could we serve? So right now, we serve a very traditional student population looking for a degree program at the undergraduate or graduate level. But who could we serve? We could be building more credentialing programs. We could be developing more certificates. We have some of those, but these short-term certificates that give somebody the expertise they need to move into a different career or to advance in the career that they're in or in the company that they're in, maybe move into a different part of the company that they're in. Mm-hmm. We're helping students with stacking credentials. So maybe you want a certificate that offers you a few courses to advance in your career now, but you can come back and stack that with another credential and put those together and have a master's degree within a very short time mm-hmm. that allows you to advance in your current career or into a new job. We recognize that students are looping more now. They're coming in, they're here for a couple years, they realize they have a job opportunity. Sometimes even our undergraduates are so strong in their internship or co-op experiences that companies want to hire them before they graduate. Mm-hmm. We're trying to be responsive to students who may want to leave, work for a few years, and then come back knowing better what they want to study and what they want to specialize in. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have our pathway programs for students who can do their undergraduate and get a graduate credential in a shorter time in an accelerated format. And we're looking at flexible formats that allow students to take that certificate program and make that into a degree or credential later when they're ready to actually come back. I thought it was a great question because it showed awareness that we have a lot of career changers and that that's going to be part of the future and that the university needs to be thinking about how we serve them. Mm-hmm. Another interesting question was, how is Widener addressing the skills gap for employers? We hear all the time that there are many, many jobs out there and nobody to fill them. That was a great question. And my answer was, we're always analyzing market demand data. And in areas where we feel we can make a contribution, we use that data to drive program development. So all the new programs that we're rolling out all the time, they're just not programs that we come up with because we think that would be interesting. They're programs that meet employers' needs in our region in mm-hmm. particular, and in some cases, those needs are really national needs. We want to encourage young talent to stay in the region, so we need to know the specific regional trends and needs. And we know that we're successful with that because our students are, as I said, in the top 18% nationally for mid-career salaries after they graduate. So we're definitely getting them into the right jobs and careers that are out there.
The topic certainly generated some stimulating conversation. And I think the members of the President's Council who attended really enjoyed the opportunity to share thoughts directly with you. And I'm curious, are you going to be continuing to offer these events to the President's Council moving forward? And what topics do you think might be covered in the future?
Absolutely. So we're planning a similar session in the spring, and we intend to continue to do this. We were excited about the really positive response to this first opportunity for these smaller gatherings focused on particular topics of interest. So I look forward to featuring other presenters, perhaps some of our faculty experts, and sharing more information from my colleagues here at Widener about our growth, our strategy, our successes, and the challenges we're facing. I really enjoyed engaging with the President's Council members at our November session, and particularly gathering their input, because as we all know, the support of these alumni, parents, friends, faculty, and staff makes a significant impact on the university and on the lives of our students, and it's vital to our future success that we continue to hear their feedback, to learn from their feedback, and to work with them to advance our university.
Well, Julia, I want to thank you for sharing this information with us today and with our listeners who couldn't be at the event, but I'm sure we'll be very interested to hear details of the conversation. Thanks for being with us.
Great. Thank you, Greg.